This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Live from the Palatial yet not overly ostentatious studios of the Infinity Sports Network here in beautiful New York City, sitting on top of the 10th floor of 345 Hudson Street. Welcome on in to what is a Thursday edition of the Zach Gelb Show across all of the great local Infinity Sports Network affiliates, Sirius XM, Channel 375, the free Odyssey app, the iHeartRadio app, and also streaming live on YouTube. 888-710-4ISN is the number to jump on in. That's 888-710-4476. You could always get at me on Instagram, where I'm straight flexing, or via the good old cesspool of Twitter, at Zach Gelb. That's Z-A-C-H-G-E-L-B. Sirius XM Big Ten host Ben Hartsock is going to join us coming up an hour 20 from now, as we'll put a bow on Big Ten Media Days. And Chris Titone is going to join us coming up at 5:20 p.m. Eastern, 2:20 p.m. Pacific time. He is Adam Sandler's brother-in-law, and he is in the movie Happy Gilmore 2, which comes out on Netflix tomorrow. So we will chat it up with Chris Titone, and we will get his thoughts on the remake or part two edition of Happy Gilmore, and we'll get a little feel on that. Let's start the show with the Cleveland Browns. So I got a text yesterday from my buddy Nick Wilson, where Nick Wilson does afternoon drive on 92.3 The Fan in Cleveland. The reason I chuckle is we did have fun at the expense of Nick Wilson 2 weeks ago when him and his co-host Jonathan Peterlin got into a really nasty fight on the air. And it was like school kids at the lunch table, and it was getting really ugly. And it felt like there were some bologna sandwiches that were getting thrown around at one another, and some insults and some jabs, and it all had to do over the WNBA. Like, I just think it's so funny. Imagine telling a radio listener 15, 20 years ago that two talk show hosts in Cleveland would be irate and be throwing jabs and be getting in a contentious argument over the WNBA. But that's what transpired a few weeks ago, 92.3 The Fan in Cleveland, between Nick Wilson and also Jonathan Peterlin. So Nick Wilson texted me the other day, and Nick Wilson's a good dude, and I've known him for years, especially when he used to host the WFNZ in Charlotte, and I would appear on his radio program, his very fine radio program, many times. So he asked me this. He said, "This won't go on the air tomorrow with your name on it unless you want it to, but I do a bit of polling. Are you taking the over or the under on the Cleveland Browns win total in 2025? The over-under is 5.5. So I responded, and I said, "Nick, you could use my name. You could say my name 4,000 times during the show. I'm taking the under." So there's two conversations with the Browns. It's the present and it's the future. Now let's start with the present. They have four quarterbacks right now. And usually the saying is, if you have two quarterbacks, you really have no quarterbacks. Well, if you have four quarterbacks, what does that then mean? Because I think there's two competitions going on in Cleveland right now. It's a competition to start week one. Duh. And that competition, I really think, is only between two people. It's between Joe Flacco and it's between Kenny Pickett. I think the loser of Joe Flacco and Kenny Pickett will either get traded or in all likelihood will get released. And then the competition is between Shedeur Sanders and Dylan Gabriel. The winner of that battle between Shedeur and Dylan Gabriel will get the number two spot, and the loser will still have a spot on the roster, but it'll be QB3. That's what's going on in Cleveland right now. But here's the thing. The Cleveland Browns, they made a trade with the Jacksonville Jaguars where they acquired a future first-round pick for next year's draft. So the Browns could stink this year, and in probably all likelihood will be a dreadful football team. They have their own first-round pick, and then they have the first-round pick of the Jacksonville Jaguars where, let's be real, I don't know what the Jaguars are going to be with Mr. Duval. I don't know what they're going to be. Can Trevor Lawrence put it together? You got the two-way star of Travis Hunter. What is Liam Cohen going to look like as a head football coach? And then you got Boy Wonder in the front office. What's his name? James Gladstone, I think it is. Who, by the way, he looks like he could be an executive or he could be a salesperson on Wall Street. And that's what that guy looks like. He's young, got the slick back hair. I would not think that he was an NFL general manager. So you have the Jaguars. If you tell me that the Jaguars are a four-win football team this year, I'd be like, oh, I believe it. If you tell me somehow that Trevor Lawrence puts it together and this team with Liam Cohen Duval finds a way to go 9-8 and 10-7, I could believe that too. I think the range is so great for the Jacksonville Jaguars. But I don't see the range being so great for the Cleveland Browns. Because when I look at the Browns, they no longer have Nick Chubb. I look at the Cleveland Browns, sure they have Myles Garrett and Denzel Ward. But the rest of the team leaves a lot to be desired. Like, all right, Jerry Jeudy's a solid wide receiver in this league. Is he Jerry Rice? Is he Terrell Owens? Is he Randy Moss? Yeah, even a top 10 wide receiver in the NFL. Forget about some of the all-time greats. So I take a look at Cleveland. Cleveland's going to, hot take of the day, Cleveland's going to be bad this year. And I know they have a two-time Coach of the Year award winner in Kevin Stefanski, but the only way I could see Cleveland rocking this year and Cleveland actually being better than what I anticipate, which is a very, 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 very low bar, is if whoever they deem to be the quarterback this year just blows us all out of the water, right? Like, we've seen the last 2 years when C.J. Stroud got to the Texans. They were in the outhouse. They made the postseason. Jaden Daniels, the Commanders, they were in the pit of misery. Oh, it used to be a great commercial, by the way. Dilly Dilly, friend of the crown. And then they found a way to get to the postseason. Not only the postseason, the NFC Championship game. So do I anticipate if, let's say, Kenny Pickett, who, you know what, Chris in California, I know you're listening, 888-710-4ISN. Do I anticipate Kenny Pickett, Chris's guy, Kenny Pickett, who I saw at UFC at the Prudential Center, Kenny Pickett, who told me he was going to come on this show, and we still haven't heard back from Kenny Pickett. You know, maybe the phone doesn't work in his small hands. But all right, maybe he probably got texting gloves, right? He got that glove. Maybe he got texting gloves. But anyway, do I think Kenny Pickett's going to go be C.J. Stroud? Do I think Kenny Pickett is going to be Jaden Daniels? Nope. Now, if Joe Flacco starts, do I think Joe Flacco's going to have Cleveland rocking like he did 2 years ago down the stretch? Nope, I don't. I saw Joe Flacco last year in Indianapolis. P.U. And I like Joe. But Joe's old now. The game has passed Joe by. It's time for Joe to retire and enjoy life. So I guess if you're banking on someone to be a Jaden Daniels or a CJ Stroud, and let me remind you, CJ Stroud was the second overall pick and Jaden Daniels was the second overall pick. You'd be banking on Dylan Gabriel or Shedeur Sanders to be that. Well, last time I checked, Dylan Gabriel was picked in the third round. And Shedeur Sanders, do the Shedeur Sanders, huh? Shout out Rick Ross, Ricky Rose. I look at Shedeur Sanders as someone that could have been a first round pick. At worst case, should have been a second round pick, but he fell to the fifth round. So, little old Zach Gelb here, just going out on a limb, even though I like Shedeur. I don't think we're going to be looking if there is a CJ Stroud or a Jaden Daniels this year in the NFL. I don't think it's coming from Cleveland. Okay? So the Browns are going to be the Browns. As didn't Juju once say that the Browns is the Browns? They're not going to be good this year. And that's okay. Because Cleveland, where have we heard this before? You're building for the future. So the present right now is we're going to just see some things from the Cleveland Browns. They're going to trot out probably 2-3 quarterbacks this season, maybe even 4. And can any one of those guys take the baton and run with the opportunity? And then when Cleveland has 2, I would venture to say top 15 picks next year. Could be 2 top 10, could be 2 top 5. But, you know, the furthest I'm going to go is 2 top 15 picks next year. Would the quarterback be that good, whether it's a Shedeur or Dylan Gabriel or somehow Kenny Pickett, where they see enough where they go, the quarterback's good, the team just wasn't good. And you look at the Cleveland Browns and you say to yourself, okay, use the third overall pick, which is Cleveland, and the 11th overall pick, which is Jacksonville's, to take 2 players that aren't quarterbacks. You think that's a good chance of that happening? Probably not. I think Cleveland is setting themselves up once again for the future. Now, I don't know if Andrew Berry is a part of that, their general manager. I don't know if the head football coach, who I think is a good football coach, Kevin Stefanski, is a part of that future. But in all likelihood, next year, where we say right now the quarterback class is supposed to be deeper. That's what everyone tells me. You know, the quarterback class is supposed to be deeper. Who are some of the best quarterbacks entering this season in college football? Cade Klubnik? Drew Aller? Lenore Sellers? Like, those guys are good, but there's still question marks on those guys. You know, people are going to say Arch Manning. I don't even know if Arch is going to come out of college this year to go to the NFL draft. So we say, and that's what every Tom, Dick, and Harry said in April, this draft this year is not that deep at the quarterback position, but just wait until next year. All right, a lot could change. Last year, I thought that Carson Beck was supposed to be the number one overall pick. Carson Beck got dumped by Cavender, had to go to Miami after getting dumped by Georgia, and now he's fighting for his football future. I remember when the dude that quarterbacks the Saints, Spencer Rattler, now he was supposed to be all that. And then he had to transfer out of Oklahoma before finding himself a home in South Carolina. So we don't know necessarily what the quarterback future is. But I do know that Cleveland is going to be, even though they just took 2 quarterbacks in the draft and brought in 2 other quarterbacks in this offseason, that Cleveland's going to be in the market for maybe a head coach, but definitely a quarterback this time next year. So that leads me to Colin Cowherd, FS1 Fox Sports. He is saying that there is a secret out there. And it's a poorly kept secret, and it involves Nick Saban taking over as the head football coach of, here we go, Brownies, here we go, hoot, hoot, and his quarterback being Arch Manning. Now, Colin Cowherd is always an artist of a take. He knows how to host, obviously, a compelling radio program. And obviously, he has an abundance of success. But let's break this down in 2 different ways. Nick Saban, right? You go back to Greg McElroy. Greg McElroy was told by someone in the know, whoever that may be, and I like Greg, but, you know, the report was just a little bit bizarre, that he wasn't so sure, and he doesn't think that Nick Saban has coached his final game. So there's two parts on that. If that's true, let's just operate that it's true, that Nick Saban's going to come back. Is he going back to college, or is he going back to the NFL? Now, I've been someone that was leading the charge saying that if Nick Saban is coming back to coach, it's not college, it's the NFL. So Nick Saban, the time he was in the NFL as a head coach, was with the Miami Dolphins. Is Nick Saban going to come to the NFL and come back to the NFL, and is he going to coach the Cleveland Browns? I don't care what SEC ties, or Everett Collins said it, that Jimmy Haslam has to the SEC. Nick Saban's going to be the next coach, head coach, not defensive coordinator, head coach of the Cleveland Browns. I don't buy it. Just look at their own division. Wouldn't you rather be the head coach of the Cincinnati Bengals with Joe Burrow? Wouldn't you? Jamar Chase? If the Bengals have a bad season? So I don't see why Nick Saban, with the cupboard being so bare in Cleveland, why he would go at his age and try to build up the Cleveland Browns. Wouldn't you go somewhere that's a little bit more established? That's number one. Number two, what are the odds that Cleveland has a top pick in the draft next year? Very good. Extremely good. Extraordinary well. And if they're better than expected, they have the Jaguars pick to fall off of. And if the Jaguars are better than expected, you can trade both those picks and move up. But right now, as we sit here, I don't think Arch Manning is going to the NFL yet. Fozzie Whitaker said it to us. He's in no rush to go to the NFL. I could see a world where Arch Manning is back at Texas next year. I could really see it. Now, if Arch wins the Heisman Trophy and wins a national championship this year, all right, job done. Maybe he does go to the NFL. And would there be some appeal for Nick Saban to coach Arch Manning? Yeah, I guess so. He tried to recruit him to Alabama. But once again, what are the odds that you're able to get Nick Saban and Arch Manning? I still think it's slim to none. And also, remember the Manning family? Right, this is the same Manning family where Archie, or maybe some that used to work at the network would call him Arky, they would not let little Eli go play in San Diego. Go Chargers, go. And they forced him to the Big Apple. Do you think Archie, Arky, Ark, Arch, do you think, a lot of inside jokes here, do you think that family is going to let the chosen one of Arch Manning, the golden grandson, do you think they're going to let him go to Cleveland? I don't whatsoever. So I take a glance at the present of the Cleveland Browns. And the present, it's going to be a miserable football season. Now, as for the future, there is optimism. Right? You're in the bottom. You're all the way in the bottom of the basement. There's a way to get to the top of the staircase. There's a way to find the light at the end of the tunnel. And I know, Cleveland fans, you've done this for years. But you do have some future picks that if, major if, gigantic if you capitalize, things could turn around really soon. But do I think you're going to get the duo of Nick Saban and Arch Manning in Cleveland? Nope, I don't. And if you said, okay, one of them will be there, it's obviously more likely that it's going to be Arch compared to Nick Saban. But it makes for a fun sports talk radio topic at the end of July. It is the Zach Gelb Show on the Infinity Sports Network. We will pay tribute to two legends who did leave us earlier this week. When we return, it is the Zach Gelb Show right here on the Infinity Sports Network. It is the Zach Gelb Show on the Infinity Sports Network. You hear that song, you think of one person. That's Hulk Hogan. Unfortunately, the Hulkster did pass away today, suffering cardiac arrest at the age of 71. Our condolences, obviously, to his family, his friends, and also his fans, as the Hulkster has left us at the age of 71. And you look at this week, you know, it's bizarre how this happens. But in the entertainment world, whether you were a fan of his music or you were a fan of his wrestling or not, everyone knew who Hulk Hogan was, and everyone knew who Ozzy Osbourne was, and Ozzy passed away a few days ago on July 22nd at the age of 76. And it's just so bizarre when, you know, I'm someone that's turning 31 in a few weeks, right? And you see, right, so many different generations and their way that they remember someone. Like, someone that's older than me can remember Ozzy Osbourne, and their views of him could be different than the way that I view him. And the same for Hulk Hogan. Because both of those guys lived in the spotlight for their entire lives. And they've touched so many different people. And you got to see so many different versions of them. But when you see, unfortunately, right, Ozzy Osbourne passed away a few days ago, and then Hulk Hogan passed away today, it does send a chill up your spine when you talk about two of the all-time great entertainers. And that, to me, is the way that you remember Ozzy and Hulk Hogan. And obviously, everyone has their different views and their different stories and the different way that they remember them. But, you know, there are people, obviously, that are wrestling fans their entire lives. There are also people that, right, just like wrestling as a kid. And what makes you nostalgic about it is if you are someone that still isn't a wrestling fan, then you go back to your childhood dreams, you know, and your childhood memories. If you're someone that is still a wrestling fan, obviously, there are other wrestlers that have entered the wrestling world that you may like, but you could be hard-pressed to find a better entertainer than Hulk Hogan. And, like, if you're, let's say, someone my age, you know, 30, 31, the wrestler that you grew up with was John Cena. And then you talk to someone like my Uncle Freddie, right? It was the first person I thought of today when I got the news. Like, I saw this, that Hulk Hogan passed away. I was on Twitter. I saw it on TMZ. And I'm like, holy smokes. And I texted my Uncle Freddie right away. And that was his guy. But either way, whether you're a wrestling fan or not, you knew who Hulk Hogan was. Same thing with Ozzy Osbourne. Whether you loved his music or not, you recognize that this is one of the greatest entertainers and one of the greatest musicians ever. And I'll tell you, I'm sure today, you know, after I leave the show at 6 p.m. Eastern time and I go home and, you know, just enjoy a night in the apartment, I'm sure my social media is going to be filled with old Hulk Hogan videos, and you're just, that's going to enter your algorithm, right? And those are the videos that you're just going to see, your reels, your TikToks, for the next 24 to 48 hours. But the last few days, the videos that you've seen of Ozzy Osbourne, it's they're so emotional. Like, I didn't know he did this send-off concert, right, 3 weeks ago. I didn't even know that was happening. Like, I knew that he was, I think it was 2020, was diagnosed with Parkinson's, and clearly he was not doing well. But my feed has been just filled with Ozzy Osbourne videos from this final show that he did three, four weeks ago. And I'll tell you, the one that gets me is when he's singing at the end and he's in a chair, right? He can't really move, but his voice still, for being in that condition and basically being on the verge of death, as now we know it, his voice is still unbelievable. And the video that got me is when he's singing "Mama, I'm Coming Home," and you just see the people in the audience, just all of them bawling their eyes out, because it's two things. One, they know that this is it. And not that I'm a lyrical expert when it comes to "Mama, I'm Coming Home," or even, you know, knowing really who Ozzy Osbourne's mother was. But when you hear that from someone who's on the verge of passing away, singing a song, right, that is obviously very famous, "Mama, I'm Coming Home," and you hear them in that chair, on that stage, in that, like, that the state that they're in, it's like he knew, obviously, he was dying. He knew he wasn't in a good spot. And when you say, "Mom, I'm coming home," and you have Ozzy Osbourne, who is 76 years old, like, I kind of took that as, even though the song's already written, it's already a great song, as if he's basically saying to the crowd, like, when you sing this, it's getting interpreted as, okay, this is it, and then he's going up to heaven, and that's where he's going to go end up seeing his mom. Like, that's the way that I interpret that in the moment with how the song's playing out in the year of 2025, 3-4 weeks before Ozzy Osbourne's away. And just to, like, you know the dedication that Ozzy and the Hulkster had to their crafts, where, like, for example, you could be a sensation, you could be a star, and then you know that you have a date where you no longer want to tour, where you no longer want to be that public figure. You just kind of want to get out of the public spotlight. Obviously, Ozzy Osbourne, I've seen interviews that he's done since then, he's talked about, and let's be real, we know Ozzy's done his, you know, did his fair share of drugs, but he said it in the clip. He's like, "My drug now is still performing." And that's something that never escapes someone. And to be performing a few weeks before your death, and to be still in the state that he's in, the sound of it just sounding still so crystal clear and awesome, it's one of the more remarkable things I've ever seen. And obviously for the Hulkster, Hulk Hogan, that's someone that once you're Hulk Hogan, right? And you're synonymous with being the wrestler, the entertainer in the wrestling world, it's you never escape that personality and that spotlight. And yeah, I know that when you look at the Hulkster, right, a lot of it recently has been politicized. But when you look at what that guy meant to so many people for years, whether you liked him or not, everyone knew who he was. So to have those two legends and those two entertainers in Ozzy Osbourne and Hulk Hogan both die a few days apart, it's almost crazy because they both obviously lived for a long time, 71, 76, right? I know now, but obviously people live until like their late 90s, even, you know, live to 100, 100, 102. But as someone that is 30, about to be 31, like I didn't grow up in the prime of Ozzy Osbourne. I didn't grow up in the prime of Hulk Hogan, but I know so much about them because of how long they've been in the public spotlight. And obviously at the reality show with Ozzy Osbourne and with Hulk Hogan always being still associated with wrestling, it's just wild how we just went through Ozzy Osbourne 2 days ago passing, and then today it's Hulk Hogan passing. So, man, obviously, so many fans that they've had for so many years, and we're obviously thinking of everybody today, and then 2 days ago when you have Ozzy and Hulk pass away in the same week. I'll tell you, recently, I'm going to play two things here. You're going to hear from Ric Flair in just a second, but there's this kid that does the Hulk Hogan intro, "Let me tell you, brother," and he went to this card show or this signing. And this kid's a string bean. Gotta be like 4 or 5 or something, maybe at most 6. And he had this little exchange with Hulk Hogan.
Let me tell you something, brother. When you walk in this beat shop, I'm surprised that you still got the shirt on, Jack.
Well, let me tell you something, Hulkster. The first time I met you, I was only 3 years old, but now I'm 6 years old. So now we gotta take it to a bigger level, man. Just like when you press that no good stinky giant over your head and slam them right through the table in front of 93,000 Hulkamaniacs. So what are they gonna do when the power of the Hulkster and the Roaster and the dual 24-inch pythons run wild on you?
It's just awesome. That kid's 6. He was 6 when he did that. But that just kind of shows the historical significance and the star of Hulk Hogan, where some 6-year-old sees a Hulkster thing and then is able to remember it like that. When that kid should actually have no clue who Hulk Hogan is, if we're just being honest. And that's what we're talking about when you have these legendary entertainers like Ozzy Osbourne and Hulk Hogan, and how many years and how many decades they were in the public spotlight and how they touched so many people in so many different ways. TMZ, earlier today, when we got the news that Hulk Hogan, and they did break it, that he did pass away at the age of 71, they did catch up with Ric Flair. Here's an emotional Ric Flair.
People always wanted to paint us as enemies, but we were actually very, very close friends. And we kept up with each other on a regular basis. So I just talked to Jimmy Hart yesterday, and he was fine. To have this happen is just horrible. We had magic. I mean, it wasn't like me and Steamboat, but we just had a chemistry that was, I felt like, equal to me and Steamboat, but in a different way. And he was so over. I mean, when I went there in the 90s, I had never seen anything like it in my life. And the music started, and he came down the hallway, and I mean, I would get him down for 2 minutes, and we'd have, it's just an unbelievable relationship. I mean, if we were doing a dark match after TV, we would go and he'd say, room service, and throw me in, give me the boot, drop the big leg on me. We got back to the hotel for room service. I mean, that's how much fun we had working together.
So there you go. That's Ric Flair talking about Hulk Hogan as he did pass away today, the Hulkster, at the age of 71. And that song, by the way, that we were talking about with Ozzy Osbourne, Mama, I'm Coming Home, it's actually dedicated to his wife, Sharon, who got him a little bit more reeled in compared to his crazier days. But that's the way that I just interpreted it when I was watching that final show that he did and how emotional it was and how emotional that song was. It was almost as if that was like his send-off in life. And, you know, obviously the song was written so many years ago, but the way that I interpreted it in 2025 when seeing that stage and knowing it was in the best health condition, like, I'm coming home, to me that was like, you're going off to heaven after obviously the life that you did live. So rest in peace to Ozzy Osbourne and also Hulk Hogan. And by the way, as a Patriot fan, right, like, when you hear Ozzy Osbourne, clearly, like, this intersects in our sports world. Crazy Train has been the Patriots intro forever. And there's, oh my God, there's a video, I forget after which Super Bowl it was, but the next year they had him on the opening night. It was up against the Raiders, actually, Stu. It was Patriots, Raiders, a Patriot on the game, by the way, where they had Ozzy perform it live on the field before the team ran out to Crazy Train. And I saw that video pop back up this week, and that was just like an awesome 3-4 minute video. A lot of times now, the live performances in sports, when you bring in a musician, they're usually not that good. You know, a lot of, like, how many times do we clown some of these now? But that Ozzy one, he hit it out of the park that night to open up the football season, celebrating another Patriots World Championship. All righty, this is Zach Gelb Show right here on the Infinity Sports Network. We will take a timeout. We'll come on back with the news brief. Update time first. Here's Zach.
Time for your daily news brief. We get you caught up on the rumors, reports, and reconnaissance from the day in sports.
All righty, news brief time. It is the Zach Gelb Show right here on the Infinity Sports Network. Let's start it off with Kevin Stefanski on the current quarterback battle in Cleveland.
I think the big thing for me is putting our guys in position where we can evaluate them. I think they did a great job in the spring, all four of those guys. We'll continue to put them in some situations, but ultimately, we'd love to make a decision sooner than later.
I'd like to make a decision sooner than later. Stu, do you buy that? I feel like the only reason to pay attention to the Cleveland Browns right now is to try to figure out who their quarterback is going to be. Aren't they going to try to suck out this storyline the entirety of the summer and let it just drag out?
We're not getting this until the last preseason game, I don't think. I think that's when we'll kind of have a better idea.
Yeah, and like, if you're going to rush to make the announcement quick, that would make me think that Dillon Gabriel or Shedeur Sanders aren't going to get the job, which I don't think either will. So is it going to be that clear and obvious between Joe Flacco and Kenny Pickett? We'll have to wait and see. So Bill Belichick, man, he's got to go to ACC Media Days today. Now, I haven't heard this, but it says to the monitor on my left, it says, Bill Belichick, who expects to win the QB job at UNC this year? I'm going to imagine, if I know Belichick the way that I do, he's going to answer by saying, you know, we'll have a competition, and we're going to play
who gives us the best chance to win, and we'll do what's in the best interest of the team. Let's hear from the hoodie.
Player who plays the best. Yeah, it'll be competitive, and we'll see how it goes. Those guys all get an opportunity, and we'll let the competition play out on the field. I can't control how players play, never have, and never will. Performance is up to the players, and then we'll do the best we can to coach all of them and help them be the best they can be. But ultimately, you know, the players win the games, and players earn their playing time, their spots on the field, and that'll be up to them.
Is it me? Or does that sound like Bill Belichick has a little extra pep in his step these days, too?
Sounds happy.
Right?
He does.
Santer, why could Bill Belichick potentially be happy these days? You know? It's just one of those things where I look at the hoodie and Bill Belichick. I don't know, Stu. What do you think it could potentially be?
Oh, I don't know. Maybe it's the North Carolina weather, maybe? I don't know.
What else could it be? He's away from Robert Kraft? Is that it?
Maybe.
What else is happening with Bill Belichick? I think dating some 24-year-old. That's probably why he sounds like that. He still sounds miserable, but he sounded less miserable. Let's go to James Franklin. Oh, here we go again. I give this guy a little praise, James Franklin. I start to say with James Franklin, I look at Penn State. I think they could win a national championship this year. And then you got James Franklin showing up to media days in Las Vegas for the Big Ten. And he just goes off about Big Ten media days being in Las Vegas.
A lot of our beat writers did not come to this because they couldn't afford to get out here. And the majority of our teams are near Chicago, where this used to always be. The majority of our teams are near Indianapolis, where this used to be. And it creates a different environment. I walk around the lobby. I don't see any signage. I don't see anything for the Big Ten. I don't see people getting autographs. It's a different vibe, and it's a different feeling. We need to be talking about the Big Ten and our programs and the things that we have done. And making it as accessible to everybody as we possibly can, and connecting with the fans. I think there's still some things that we got to be strategic and smart about that are going to put our conference and our schools in the best position on a national level.
What the F is he talking about? Do you think if you had those media days in Indianapolis, it's that different? Sure, maybe more accessible to the teams that are covering it, the schools that are covering it, in terms of the media members. But let me let James Franklin on a little secret. No one's going to care about media days when the schedule starts and the season starts in a month from now. They're going to care if you could win the big game. We're all still talking about Big Ten media days. So this idea that it can't be in Las Vegas and it's this, oh my God. He's so insufferable. He's always bitching about something, James Franklin. A few years ago, I lose to Ohio State. Had a few kids not sitting in the first row of class. That's why we lost the game. Oh, yeah, sure. Excuse for this guy. And it's also like one point in that clip on the whole thing where he's like, yeah, I remember there's times I'd be in the hotel lobbies like kissing babies. Who are you, the Pope? James Franklin kissing babies? How many autographs is that guy actually signing? Come on, what are we doing here? Let's go to Jeremiah Smith. Did he almost go to Miami with Cam Ward? This credit of On3.
That night, I definitely talked to Cam Ward. Thought about something, but it really...
So you did have thoughts of going, because they had one of the best offenses ever, you were on the team.
Cam's intense. How do you take it when you broke it to him? You're going on.
I didn't really tell him. We just got on the phone, and he was like, what you gonna do? I was like, I don't know. Then like a couple hours later, I sent the NIL in.
Have you spoken to him since?
I haven't spoken to him since.
Oh, wow.
I sent the NIL in. That's a great line. Ryan Day should also be looking up at the ceiling and kissing the ground that he's looking up on, you know, from. Because if Jeremiah Smith's not there, they don't win that national championship last year. And Stu maybe has a national championship to his resume right now. Let's go to Brett Bielema, the difference in college football now than when he played.
As a player, I actually was a walk-on that earned a scholarship. And think about that phone call when I called my parents telling them I earned a scholarship. And they were crying on the other line, and I thought they were just happy, but I also realized, you know, that scholarship made a big payment difference in that household that I was raised in. And to now have a system where starting in July, we actually paid our players through PayPal. Holy shit, the world has changed, right? Like, it's just a different world.
I always love an older guy that is just amused by the way that the world works now. Like, my dad, Stu, he can't stand Venmo. He's like, aren't everyone going to see what you... I'm like, Dad, you can make it private. My dad's still a guy. He goes and pays everything in cash. He doesn't like to really use the credit cards and all that stuff.
My parents are the same.
And Brett Bielema, like, PayPal. Oh, my God. Oh, my gosh. let's go to Manny Rodriguez on Maggie and Perloff earlier this morning. Their associate producer, Manny Rodriguez, he goes off the New York Yankees. All right, let's listen up to this.
They play baseball like a bunch of six-year-olds. Nick Turturro put out a video yesterday of him crashing out. That was, I verbatim had the exact same words coming out of my mouth. It was a tough night last night at the Yankee household, at the Rodriguez household, because of the stupid Yankees. They play baseball like morons.
Well, they've been doing that for a while.
Morons!
They're atrocious,
Maggie,
defensively.
They had five hits yesterday and four errors. How the hell does that happen? You're a pro baseball team. This isn't bogus 11U baseball team coaching Jake.
Good point.
What is this? It's garbage. And then you come out on the postgame. Yeah, well, we have some good defenders. The hell you do? You don't know what the hell you're doing. The Yankees can get defeated by a JV high school baseball team.
So I am actually filling in on Maggie and Perloff. Here's a little programming note. August 11th and 12th, when Perloff is out on vacation, I'll be co-hosting with Maggie Gray. So looking forward to that on our very fine network's morning show. Could you imagine if Mark Chernoff was still here and he heard a 40-second rant from Manny Rodriguez? It was a fine rant. He'd be like, this is why we don't put the producers on the air. You know, Maggie, I know earlier in the week you were saying all players should get those big Brazilian butt lifts. You know, maybe it could help them. I'd rather hear that cockamamie take than Manny Rodriguez. Does anyone even know who he is? And Manny, he's ranting about the Yankees. Doesn't he understand that Odyssey, we have a partnership with the Yankees? Come on. Manny, if I wanted you to be on the air, I'd make you a host, all right? That would be Mark Chernoff if he was still with us. How many times do we get overnights? I would get a message from Chernoff.
I don't want to hear from Graceffo or Horowitz. I just don't want to. I want you to be the host for 4 hours. If I wanted them to not press the buttons and be on the air, I'd put you behind the glass, but I want to hear from you.
All right, take a break. We'll return. When we do come on back, we'll get to a little onside, offside, since I'm on a little vacation tomorrow with it being a summer Friday. So we are treating today like it is a Friday right here
on the Zach Hill Show. Come on, no more Manny Rodriguez.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Hate doing cardio? try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart, for a healthier you. Smile Generation. Trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.
Anyone who loves playing baseball or softball knows that one of the first steps in that journey is breaking in your first glove. It's where your love of the game began. Where does your child's baseball or softball journey begin? Go to playball.org to get started. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.